I'm Jeb Sharp, in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Zahra John was just 14 years old the day Boko Haram extremists stormed into her isolated village in Nigeria. That was 2 years ago. The militants slaughtered the men. Then they forced the women and girls to board several trucks and abducted them. 2 months later, a commander named Ali took Zahra as his wife.
He tattooed his name onto her stomach with a knife and with charcoal. He had told her that with that mark he'd made on her stomach, whenever he came back from battle, he would be able to identify her. And even if he died in battle, anyone who saw that tattoo would know she's a Boko Haram commander's wife and they will treat her well.
That's Nigerian journalist Adobe Trisha Nwabani. She spoke with Zahra after Nigeria's military rescued the teenager. Nwabani recounts how Zahra described her abduction and her mother's 2 years ago.
The truck was so full that her mom fell out, but she kept chasing after it because it had her daughter, Zahra, and her four-year-old son. So she ran as fast as she could, for as long as she could, and of course, eventually she had to give up. So that's how Zahra was kidnapped and taken to a town somewhere called Bita, and she was there for about a year until the Nigerian military rescued her.
And what did she tell you about her life there?
She said as soon as they arrived, the Boko Haram men told them that they were now their slaves. And so they started living a life of doing chores and being shouted at and, of course, learning the Quran and being taught how to be good Muslim women because they got them converted. And so that was the life she lived for about 2 months until she was married off to a Boko Haram commander.
And she enjoyed a lot of privileges as the wife of a commander.
She moved from cramped quarters to a house. Well, it had a thatched roof, she said, but it was theirs, just two of them inhabiting that. So life was a lot easier for her when compared to when she was being treated as a slave. She had to cook only for her husband, to take care of him. And she described a man who was kind to her. She said he told her stories of his family. He was a fisherman and he joined Boko Haram after his father and his brother were killed by the Nigerian military. And that was when he joined Boko Haram. So she described him as a good man. And she said he had told her that they would go after the war was over. They would go back to Baga together and resume his fishing business. You know, she described a man who was loving. She said he bought her clothes, bought her food, made sure she was comfortable. And then her exact word, he gave me everything that a woman needs from a man.
And then that ends because she's rescued by the Nigerian army. What did she tell you about that?
I asked her how she felt when she was rescued. And she said if she had a gun at the time the Nigerian military came to rescue her, she would have shot the soldiers. The first thing she thought was, these infidels, these unbelievers have come to disturb us. And her husband had traveled some days before that attack. He had told her he was going into battle. So he had left, given her a mobile phone. And he would call her from time to time to find out how she was doing. And he tattooed his name onto her stomach. Anyone who saw that tattoo would know she's a Boko Haram commander's wife and they will treat her well. And they will never again force her to marry anyone, that she was his and will be identified as his forever and be treated accordingly.
Adobe, how do you read this? What kind of transition do you think she went through? I mean, is it a kind of brainwashing?
The first thing people would say is Stockholm Syndrome, and perhaps it's a factor in a sense, but this is a 14-year-old girl who came from an environment where women normally are not treated in the best of ways, like she would be cleaning and cooking and serving a man anyway, or serving some men. She described somebody she loved, somebody she would still like to be in touch with. She had kept in touch with even after she was rescued, until her phone was seized by the soldiers when they noticed that some of the girls in the camp were in touch with the Boko Haram men. So it's not even only her. She said that the soldiers noticed that a number of the girls were still in touch with the men, and then they seized their phones and relocated them to another camp. It's a part of Nigeria where things are not as they are in other parts of the world. And she found herself in this new life, being valued by one man, being told how they were changing the world, how they were fighting a war, how they were going to start a new life. She's been with her family after she was released from the camp.
Yeah, how did they receive her?
One of her uncles, who has some level of wealth, relocated her and her mother and her brother to another part of the northeast. They found out she was pregnant after she was taken to the camp, and the family deliberated. The men in the family were deciding what to do with the baby or about the baby. Some wanted her to have an abortion. Some felt it isn't the child's fault. He shouldn't be made to pay for his father's crimes. And the majority said, let's keep the baby.
She had some contact with the husband, the commander, afterwards, or not?
Yes, she has. She said after she was rescued and taken to the camp by the Nigerian soldiers, he phoned her And he told her he would come and rescue her. And she said she was so thrilled when he said that. She was so happy to hear from him. She's 16. I think that's the age when people do these kind of things, though. Even we have 14-year-old, 16-year-old leaving their homes to join ISIS, from what we read.
Yeah, that's a great example. And also these Boko Haram girls last week who went to target a displaced camp, and two of the girls blew themselves up and they killed 58 people or more. But the third girl didn't detonate her device because she was worried her father or family members were in the camps. But it shows that line. I mean, these girls are vulnerable to the teachings, or they're coerced to be vulnerable.
Especially when she described to me why she was able to tolerate the pain of the tattoo, the knife and the charcoal, because he explained, she said, he explained to me why he had to do it. And so the pain, you know, the pain was bearable. In other words, if someone took the time to explain to them and to persuade them why they needed to take a certain course of action, even if it was going to be painful or hurtful to people, as far as they understood and imbibed and believed, they would be prepared to blow up themselves.
Nigerian novelist and journalist Adobe Trisha Nwabani describing the story of Zara John, a teenage girl who was abducted by Boko Haram.